Today I want to encourage not just those little ones, but us. I want to encourage us to live as children of the light. And I started this message last week that I got about halfway through, I don't know, maybe. And then I went back to the Lord and He gave me more stuff. So we'll just see how it goes today. But something that I think is, one thing is for sure, that it is so vitally important in these times that we are living, the importance of living as children of light. It's so vitally important for God's people, God's children, to live as children of light, right? To live in the light. We're just going to dig right in this morning. I want to read to you again from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 16. It says this. Find my place. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, last week, We were reminded that we are children of light, right? If you weren't here or if you didn't take notes last week, I'm going to give you an opportunity. The first point was, and if you're taking notes, write this down. I am a child of light, okay? I am a child of light. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness." You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Now, I cannot help but feel this huge burden, this huge burden to make sure that you understand this morning that if you have confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you've been saved. Okay? That means that you have been saved. Now, John 5:24 says this, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Now, the born-again follower of Jesus Christ has left what they once were. What were they once? Darkness. That's what the Bible says. Every single one of us was darkness. No matter how good you thought you were or how good I thought I was, when I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, I realized one thing, that I didn't add up. No matter how good I thought I was, I was darkness. There wasn't nothing good in me at that time. There was nothing good in me. But once we become a follower of Jesus Christ, we left that life to become a child of light. That's what the Bible says. You were once darkness, but now you are a child of the light, right? But then it goes on to say, live as light. Okay? There's something huge here in that first verse. You see, you are now light in the Lord. Amen? Praise God, if I breathe my last today, I'm going to be with Jesus because I'm His. I am His. Nothing's going to take that away. I'm pretty sure there's nothing I can do to even take that away. Because that's just how powerful the blood of Christ is in my life. It's saved me. But at that moment that you professed with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you were changed. You were once darkness, you're now light. Now, at that moment, new life begins. You know, I don't think, now I know, my encounter with Christ was radical, okay? And I'm not saying that every encounter with Christ is as radical as my encounter was, but let me tell you something. If you have had an encounter with Jesus, no matter what level it was radical. Because he all of a sudden changed my life from what it once was, and now he's changed me into a whole new man through his presence in my life. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone in Christ this morning? All right. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. My friends, it is a completed transaction at that moment. Okay? I don't know what people tell you. I don't know what other pastors say. I mean, I hear a lot of different messages and everything else that you got to somehow earn your salvation from that time. You got to go out and you got to prove that salvation. No, let me just tell you something. Jesus is enough. Jesus was enough. Now that doesn't mean that we don't live for him. That doesn't mean that we don't change for him, right? Because we were once darkness, now we're light. There's got to be something different about us. There's got to be something different. So you are no longer darkness. You're no longer darkness. You are no longer separated. Here's the thing. You are no longer separated from the light. You are now light in the Lord. You are no longer considered a sinner. You are considered a saint. Doesn't mean that you don't sin. It just means that Jesus' blood covers that sin. You see, John 8:34 through 36 says this, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free. You will be free indeed. You believe that this morning? You believe that Jesus, when he came into your life and you cried out to him, you gave your life to him, that you were free? You were freed from sin? It no longer has any, it no longer should have you shackled any longer. That sin was darkness in our lives. It was darkness. Now we are children of light. Here's the deal. Sin has a way of enslaving us. Amen? It does. Sin has a way of enslaving us. It has a way of controlling us. It has a way of dominating us. And it has a way of dictating our actions. It does. Okay? So Jesus can free you from this slavery that keeps you from becoming the person that God is recreating you to be. From the moment that you are saved, right? I don't need to get back on my pedestal of being created in the image of God, right? Because I don't believe that we were created in the image of God. I believe we were born in the image of Adam. That's what the Bible teaches us. We were born with this sin problem, this flesh problem. However, this beautiful thing called salvation and Jesus, it tells us that once we are His, now we are being created into the men and women that He intended for us to be. Only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is this possible. It's not possible. Right? I mean, could you imagine the message out in our world because these people say, you're created in the image of God, every one of you. In your sinfulness, in all these things that people struggle with that goes against the Word of God, right? Somehow they're created in the image of God? No, no. No, we can be recreated in the image of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's only through Him that we can be. Because we were once darkness. And because of Jesus, we are now light. There's a whole lot of light that shines on our darkness, right? So Christians, here's the thing. Christians still battle this sin problem. Wouldn't you agree? So we all battle this sin problem, but Christians recognize the sin problem. They recognize the sin problem and they repent of the sin problem because they are of the light. You talk to people who are just loving sin and they love spending time in sin over and over again and they don't feel guilty about it at all, there's still darkness. The darkness will continue to love them. The darkness will continue to encourage them into sin. Now, the interesting thing is some of us, Christians, we have that sin problem that comes into our lives. But the difference is the light. The difference is there is someone living in me that convicts me of my wrongs and causes me to repent of my sin. You see, church, without the light of Jesus shining in our dark lives, sin would just be a normal thing. Wouldn't you agree? It would be a normal thing. If sin is a normal thing for you this morning, you probably want to check your salvation. If you don't struggle with doing wrong, there is something major wrong. Okay? Because the light may not be in you, as the Bible says. Because when the light is in you, when you do wrong, you have this conviction in your life that causes you to say, I'm sorry. That causes you to cry out to God. You see, without that light of Jesus shining in our lives, sin would be normal. But when we recognize sin for what it is, right? Just so you know, sin is a divider. It divides us from, and it, sin separates us from God. Even as a child of God, sin separates me from God. Now, it's not a salvation thing. It's just the way it is. Sin separates us from God. Now, I closed last week with this question, and I want to pose this question again. Is there evidence that I am walking in the light? That's point number two. Is there evidence that I am walking in His light, right? Church, let me remind you, again, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, okay? But now you are light in the Lord, and God's Word says what? Live as children of light. Now, it is not a matter of whether or not you are in the light of the Lord. That's the thing that you need to embrace and celebrate this morning. If I have placed my faith and trust in Jesus, I am no longer darkness. I am in the light of the Lord. It's not a matter then that if whether or not you are in the light of the Lord. You are. If you have had that encounter with Christ that caused you to cry out to Him to save you from hell and all the sin that was just wrecking your lives, I want you to know this morning that you are a child of light. Even when sin comes in, you're still a child of the light. You see, you got to understand that. You got to believe that. I mean, you are a child of the light. Now, again, it's not a matter of whether you are a child of the light. That happened when you were saved. I think I've proven that. I've showed you that point through Scripture and everything else last week and into this. But here's the thing. Living as children that are of the light in the Lord is a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different ballgame. You see, church, a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, that's who you are, right? Amen? Team Jesus, baby. Team Jesus. Now the question becomes, though, are you living in the light of Jesus Christ? Are you living in the light? Ephesians 5:10 says this, and find out what pleases the Lord. I love what it says there. And find out what pleases the Lord. God's Word says that one evidence of living as children of the light is we will have a desire to find out what pleases the Lord. Do you have that desire to go, I'm going to find out if God wants me to do this? Or does God want me to do this? If it doesn't line up with His Word, I can guarantee you, you shouldn't be doing it. But you see, there's a lot of people who claim to be of God. They claim to be of Jesus, and they're living their lives in this world as though it's theirs. As though I can go and do whatever I want, whenever I want, and hey, by the way, God, why don't you just bless what I'm doing? That is not evidence of a child of God. No, it says right here that an evidence of a child that is living in the light is a child that finds out what pleases God. When was the last time that you had a desire to go, hey God, should I do this? I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, most of us, we just do it. And you know, it's that old saying, just do it and ask for forgiveness later, you know, or tell them I'm sorry later. No, that's not the way a child of God functions. No, a child of God, a child of the light, finds out what pleases the Lord. Because this life is a changed life, right? It is a life, every day is a blessing, amen? Have you asked God what He wants you to do today? Have you asked God what He would like from your life today? Or in going into the next week, if He is to bless you with another day, God, what would you like for me to do? That's not typical, right? It's not. Most of the time, we just go through our daily routines of life and we say, hey, God, bless me. Bless me. That is not an evidence of living in the light. You see, again, I think for many of us, we assume that we are living good enough lives that the Lord is pleased most of the time. But the reality is, verse 10 is not a verse that says, God will be fine with the way I live, so I will keep living the way that I am living until the Lord tells me or shows me otherwise. Again, you know, the whole saying, why fix it if it ain't broke? You know, that's a mentality that a child of God shouldn't have. Because if God gives you a day, I guarantee you there's a purpose for that day. There's a purpose for that day. And something else I would say, if your life feels like it's going great and you don't have that desire of, you know, to seek God and what pleases Him, you got that mentality, well, everything's going good, so what if it's not broke, why fix it? Let me ask you this. Who determines if your life is broke or not? Who determines? You know, by a worldly standard, I mean, we think, golly, I got money in the bank, pay the bills, everything's going good, marriage is good, kids are good, nobody, I mean, man, it's so great, everything's so great. But the reality is, if I don't have a desire in me that's seeking what God wants of my life, something's broke. Just because things from a worldly standpoint look good does not mean that it's not broken. It does not. See, again, God's word says find out what pleases the Lord. Once you find out what pleases the Lord, then you have to do a little self-examination, right? But this isn't just self-examination of your own accord. Okay, you have to engage in this self-examination by prayerfully and honestly evaluating your life against biblical teaching. I wonder if that's the reason why most people don't show up Bible study. Why you don't open up your Word every day. Because you know that when you open the door, open the Word, right? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. That means every time you open this word, its intent is to change your life. Change your life. It's going to challenge your truth in life. It's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge the things that you do in life. It's going to radically change your life, the Word of God. Again, we have to be self-examining our lives based on lining it up to biblical teaching. Let me ask you a few questions. How do you respond in certain and all situations, but especially the difficult situations? How do you respond in difficult situations? What is the motivation behind your actions? You see, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." I think there's a lot of Christians that just choose not to test themselves. It's better to have my head in the sand, right? But the reality is we should be doing this every day, shouldn't we? I mean, we should be testing our lives to see. We should be examining our lives to see whether or not I am truly living as a man of God. Again, I'm not sure that this means salvation, but it certainly means, am I living as the light? Can God use my life to change other lives? We need to be examining ourselves every single day. And what that simply means is opening up your Word. Open up the Word of God. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer with God. God, am I living as you want me to live? Convict me of the things I shouldn't be doing, right? Are those questions that come from your mouth? Maybe better yet, are they questions that come from your heart? Or maybe you just think everything's good. Everything's good, right? We need to be in self-examination, right? I had this situation come up where there was some awful things said about me. I mean, they were awful. They were hurtful. They were so hurtful. And it came from someone that I love very much. And 5 years ago, it would have been a whole different ballgame when somebody came at me like that. But I want you to know, I'm not saying this to pump myself up, but after the dust cleared, right, the first thing that I did is I went into self-examination mode. I didn't lash out at them. I didn't say what they said was wrong. I did not try to hurt them. I did not try to repay evil for evil, right? I did not do that. I went into self-examination mode. I started to cry out to God. I said, God, am I the things that this person said that I am? Because obviously they have a perspective of me that I didn't have of me. Am I those things? Am I? Could I have responded differently, God? What was the motive of mine that might have set them off? Remember, church, we are here to please God and be the light of the Lord. We are to be the light of the world, right? That's what he said. We are not here to promote our own ideas, our own convictions, our own agendas. Truly, when there's somebody coming against you, you've got to step away and you've got to go, God, are these things true? Do I need to be different? Is there something in me that needs to be changed, right? But that's not typically our first response. Our first response usually is repay evil with evil. I'm going to tear you down so that you don't come and tear me down again. But that wasn't, I still haven't even spoke to this person, to be honest. Because maybe I'm still in self-examination mode. See, we are to examine our lives. That's pleasing to God. There should be a desire in us to do so. And we should make our representation of Christ, being a child of the light, a priority. 2 Peter 1:10 and 11 says this, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Church, while I get it, our salvation, being a child of light, is not based on our good deeds. It is not based on how I respond to difficult situations. That's not necessarily, I can't respond so good that God lets me into the kingdom is what I'm trying to say. No, my salvation is in Jesus, right? But how I do respond, how I do these things, is totally showing whether or not I have salvation. Am I capable? Am I capable of stepping away from a heated situation or difficult situation to examine and seek God? That is only possible if you have an opportunity to do that as being a child of the light. Someone who is darkness is just darkness. The light needs to come in, right? Now, what are some evidences that I am walking in His light? It's a great question, right? What are some evidences? Well, walking in the light of Jesus Christ based on God's Word includes confessing sins. Okay? I've talked about this until I'm blue in the face, I know, but it is absolutely necessary for a believer to confess their sins. Okay? You have to. Okay? Again, the moment we sin, we have chosen, for a moment anyway, to walk in darkness. Okay? Now, and don't forget, I don't want you to forget, you were once darkness. Now you're light in the Lord. But as a child of God, I can still choose to walk in that darkness. Okay? Now, So when we sin, we are reverting back to the old life. When I sin, I'm reverting back to the old life where I shouldn't live any longer. Amen? I shouldn't be living there. But it happens. Happens from time to time. Happens to the best of us. Trust me. I know. Been there, done that. Probably do it again tomorrow. Right? But I don't want to. And recognizing it causes me to confess my sins. So when we sin, we're reverting back to the old life. We shouldn't live there. We're no longer there. We were once darkness. Now we're light of the Lord. And church, I think something that people, Christians, need to hear everywhere is whether you are a believer or not, sin separates you from God. It does. If you've got sin in your life right now, my friends, it separates you from God. Not only that, I would even go on to say, if you have unconfessed sin in your life here this morning, my words are going to fall on deaf ears because you can't hear them because of that sin. It's a problem. It's a problem in a believer's life. It's a big problem in the non-believer's life. We have got to understand that. And the reality is, why do you think God put in His Word in 1 John 1:9, right? Why did He put that in there? 1 John 1:8-9 is so important. It should be on every refrigerator here, okay? It should be on the dashboard of your car. It should be on your desk at work. So that you remember, right? 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There ain't none of us, no pastor, no priest, no, not even Billy Graham. If they say, I'm without sin, they deceive themselves. Because we're sinners. Well, we're saints, right? Because of Jesus. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. But God made this beautiful, gave us this beautiful verse that says, right, if we confess our sins, have you confessed your sins? Are you holding on to a sin that you haven't confessed? It's like, man, you know, I know I got this one hidden from God and everybody else. Well, let me just tell you, in the book of Hebrews, it tells you that God sees everything. You can't hide anything from God. And what's so amazing is you can't hide anything from God, and He still loves you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that He still puts His blessing on you every day, wakes you up in the morning, and He knows that thing you did? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But yet we have this verse in 1 John 1, 8 through 9. If we say we're without sin, we deceive ourselves. So that tells me right there, I need to be very aware that I am a sinner in need of Jesus. And then he says, if I confess, he is faithful and just. Why do you think that is? To save me every time? No. It's not to save me every time. It's so that my fellowship with God can be like this. Because sin separates me from God. Unconfessed sins, my friend, separate you from God. I don't care how much you're reading your Bible. I don't care how much you're praying. I don't care how much you're working for the Lord. If you have unconfessed sin, there is a separation between you and God, and He ain't hearing you. And I'm guaranteeing you're not hearing Him. Confess our sins, right? Again, sin in a believer's life hinders our fellowship with God. Anyone here commit a sin in the past week? Right. Did you confess? I mean, come on. We're children of light, right? Again, evidence. There's evidence. The Bible says there's evidence. You live in fellowship with other believers. This is a big one for me. This is a big one. We live in fellowship with other believers. Now, I am continually scratching my head. I'm surprised there's not scars on it that you see. Continually scratching my head when my brothers and sisters in the faith want to hang out with their worldly friends more than they want to hang out with their church friends. You know what? Church people are the last people you decide to invite. No, seriously. It's true. I see it on pictures and Facebook and everything else. And I scratch my head, I go, I wonder why that is. Why is that? Church, let me just tell you, fellowship with the darkness should not be a desire of a child of the light. Should not be. Should not be. Christians should do life together. Together, right? Another evidence. You exhibit a Christ-like character through love, compassion, and honesty. And this is an ongoing development, amen? Right? It is. Your character reflects God's holiness through things like honesty, integrity, and trustworthiness. You show love, kindness, forgiveness, and grace, right? Showing the world the same love and grace that Christ showed you. You see, you're open to God's light transforming your thoughts. It's like, God, I know your ways are not my ways. I know your thoughts are not my thoughts, but I want them to be. I want my ways to be your ways. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. Do you have that desire in you this morning? That's evidence of a child of God. I guess to some degree, maybe, hopefully, being here at church is an evidence of you being in the light and not just checking off a box. Box checking God's not interested in. It's truly seeking God, desiring Him, hungering for Him, wanting to worship Him, wanting to be with like-minded brothers and sisters in the faith, fellowshipping together, right? We need to be open and honest. Here's the thing, we need to be open and honest with God about our sin. And we need to have an awareness of unrighteousness in our lives, which leads to us seeking forgiveness as well. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. I said this earlier, but I want to read it to you again. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I'll say this and then I'll move on. Can you feel the love of God in your life? God loves you in spite of all that you've done. He wants fellowship with you. And one of the best ways to remain in His light is to be open and honest about your sin. About your sin, and ask Him to help you with that sin. What do you have to lose? He already knows it all. You have everything to gain. Everything to gain. Next thing I want you to write down is this. I must live as a child of light. If you are a born-again believer, you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I must live as a child of light. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay? God's Word gives us some criteria for living as a child of light. And in these end times, this world is in desperate need of God's people living as His children. You know, it drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely nuts when I'm in conversations with people and they're going, well, you know, if we just had this person in office, or if we had this person in office, this world would be a much better place. The reality is there is no government that is ordained to do what the church is supposed to do. The church is ordained to bring change to society. The church has willingly given everything. Welfare, teaching our kids. Do you realize that there was a time when that was all done in the church? When someone had a need, they came to the church so that their needs would be met and they would be spiritually guided and directed. But not now. Not now. It's all in the government's hands. They throw money out all the time, but they are not at all concerned about the spiritual well-being of our people. That's the church's job. You know what? When there's a problem in this community, the first place they go shouldn't be to the welfare department. The first place they should be going is right here to a pastor. That's the way it used to be. For spiritual guidance, to be loved the way they were supposed to be loved, to be taken care of the way they were supposed to be taken care of. But not now. Churches are not the beacon in our communities. Churches aren't the beacon in our country. They're not. Everybody's going to a whole lot of other places other than the church. Look, we are supposed to be the light of the Lord. And it says, right? In these end times, this world is in such desperate need for me to be who God is recreating me to be. Same for you. There's people in your families. There's people in your workplaces. There's people that you rub elbows with every day. I mean, these people are in darkness. They're walking in darkness. They need the light to come into their life so they can taste and see that the Lord is good, right? As children of the light, it is important. I get it. The Bible says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, right? That's what it says in 11a. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. As children of light, it is important to avoid the fruitless deeds of darkness. I get that. What is the fruitless deeds of darkness, though? Is it people? You know, I think it's a fairly simple answer, to be honest. The fruitless deeds of darkness is any pleasure or activity in my life that results in sin. Okay? It doesn't mean, I think a lot of people say, well, avoid the fruitless deeds of darkness, so that means I can't go out and be with the world. That's not what that means. How's the world going to get to know the light if the light's not out there in the world? How? They won't. And our world will continue to get worse and worse and worse as the church stays confined to four walls and never reaches out past those four walls. You were once darkness, you're the light of the world. Jesus said you're the light of the world. Everywhere you go, you're the light of the world, right? Again, we have to live in this world, right? We're not of the world. We walk among non-Christians. We work with non-Christians. Someone asked me one time if I shopped at a certain store. This is no joke. If I shopped at a certain store, if I did, then I couldn't possibly be a Christian. That's what they said. And I said, where do you shop? Give me the opportunity to dig up the dirt on the place you shop. And the reality became very quickly in our conversation, there wasn't anywhere you were going to shop without supporting something that is not of God. The reality is, my friends, we live in this world. We are not of this world. Just because I shop at Walmart doesn't mean that I support what Walmart does. It just means that I might need some mac and cheese. No, seriously. And I get it. I get it. If there are things about a certain place or a certain person that we shouldn't support, and you have the conviction not to support them, then we have a lot of other places we can shop, right? Yeah, I think the Bible has something to say about that conviction. If it doesn't convict this person, but it convicts this person, yeah, right, I get it. If it convicts you, don't do it. But don't judge me because it doesn't convict me, right? Again, probably another sermon or something down the road. But again, I think if we dig deep enough, there's a lot of people, that's what a lot of people like to do. You're going to find something that isn't pleasing to God. I could probably do that in your life. You could do that in my life. It's a reality, right? And God's word says we are to live in this world, but not of this world. And it says something, don't have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. And it goes on, right? It goes on in that verse, and it says what? It says, but rather expose them. Now, this is a very interesting thing that hopefully I got. They needed a little extra few minutes downstairs because I took a few minutes. So I'm going to take a few minutes here because I think this is important. It says, but rather expose them. God's word calls us to take this concept of not having anything to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, to take it one step further, right? It says, rather expose them. What does that mean exactly? Not only are we to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but we are called to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Well, what does that look like? What exactly is God's word calling us to? It's another great question, really, isn't it? And the more that I thought about this, I have to say that it is absolutely 100% about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, I could easily go around and I could point out your wrongdoings. I could point out that you're doing wrong and I could expose it that way. It's like, oh, yep, yeah, hey man, you are doing that and you're doing that and you're doing, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be marching. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be holding that cardboard sign. Shouldn't be doing all that stuff. But that's not what God's word's saying here. The only way you're going to expose the darkness is with the light. That means that I have to go and be around the darkness so that the light of Jesus will shine through me and expose their deeds through God, right? Through the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't condemn someone. I don't tell them that they're wrong unless I have a relationship with them. That's a whole nother sermon. I got a whole sermon series coming up here. I have to replay the tape so I remember. But the reality is, God's the one that exposes the darkness. The Word of God exposes the darkness, not John. John, in all honesty, if John sets aside the Word of God and starts walking in the darkness, I don't look anything different than the world. But when I'm walking in the light of God in these dark places, and there's a lot of them, my friends, they're everywhere you go. There is opportunity for that, for the darkness to be lit up, with the light of the Lord, right? So what a beautiful thing. God's word says that we are to expose sin, so this certainly has to mean in order to expose sin, we have to be close to sin, right? We have to be close to sin. But the bottom line on this is we must separate from sin, but not from the sinner. I mean, if we separate ourselves from the sinner, how will they ever hear the truth of the gospel? I want to read 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17, as we're getting close to closing here. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Separation from the world and exposing sin in the world isn't about me keeping distance from the sinners. It means that it is vitally important to stay close to God while I'm hanging with the sinners. I got to be so close to God that I can walk into those dark places and I can continue to be His light, to continue to love them in spite of them, right? To continue to have compassion on them in spite of who they are, right? It says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Christ will shine on you. One last thing to write down, and then I'm closing this out so I don't have Sunday school teachers ready to martyr me. Be very careful to walk in His light. Be very careful to walk in His light, church. Because we were once darkness and now we are light in the Lord, we need to be very careful to live and walk as children of the Lord. You're not supposed to be walking like a worldly man and woman any longer. You're not. And if you are, I'll pray for you because that's between you and God. Right? But why should we, but here's the thing. Myself, who are struggling with to walk in the light of the Lord, why do we need to be careful to live and walk as children of the Lord? Because the days are evil. That's what God's Word says, right? Because the days are evil. Every day people are being lost for eternity because they die without becoming a part of the kingdom of God. That's the reality. That unsaved person that dies is not going to heaven. If they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell, which means they are going to be separated from God forever, separated from you who do have Jesus forever, right? The days are evil. God's Word tells us to be careful how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise people, right? I mean, if I am a born-again believer, I'm supposed to live as though I'm a born-again believer. I'm supposed to live as a born-again believer. I'm not supposed to hold on to grace and go, well, you know what? God will forgive me. I'm going to live like the world, but God, I got Jesus. No, that's the wrong attitude to have. The reality is, yeah, there's days that you don't look like Jesus. There's days that I don't look like Jesus. But my attitude shouldn't be, well, I got Jesus so I can live however I want. No, the attitude should be, God, help me. Help me to be the light, your light, in the world in which we live. I need to be careful to live the way God has called me to live. I need to pray every day. I need to study God's Word every day. Do you seek forgiveness, right? Do you extend forgiveness? Do you love and serve others? Because it goes on to say, I mean, I question, let me ask you this. Whose lives have been changed from darkness to light because of you? Now again, some people we may not know until we get to heaven. I get that. Okay? But the Bible also says make the most of every opportunity, right? Make the most of every opportunity. Something that I want to say here, making the most of every opportunity is not a plea for us to manage our time. You know? It's like, well, make the most of every minute that I get. Make the most of every minute. If God gives me a day, I'm going to make the most of it. No, it's not a plea for that about how much time you have left on earth. No, making the most of every opportunity is about seizing every opportunity to be a light in this dark world. To walk around as little Jesuses, bringing glory to His name and glory to God, because the days are evil, my friends. I don't know about you, but every time, I can't even watch the news anymore. And I've decided I will not. Because the days are so evil, I don't want to be bogged down with that. I need to focus on one thing, and that is being the light of the Lord. Because it doesn't really matter. Wherever my day takes me, I need to be a light in the Lord. Everywhere I go, everywhere you go, my friends, there is an opportunity to allow the light of Jesus to shine through you. Is He shining through you? Are you seeing the evidence of that? Let me remind you, you were once darkness, right? But now you are light of the Lord. You're not darkness anymore. You are not. You have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Amen? You are a child of God. And of course, you are His light. If you are in His light, allow the light to shine on everyone you meet. So my challenge for you today, walk as children of light. Walk as children of a light. Allow God's goodness, righteousness, and truth to guide your steps. The only way that's going to happen is if you're spending time with Him in prayer and spending time in His Word. If you're not opening up His Word every single day, you are dying, my friends. The light of God, the child of God, right, needs that source to live, to continue to live for Him. We walk in this evil world as wise, not unwise. The world is foolish, I get it. And we need to walk with purpose and intention of shining the light in the darkness. And church, make the most of every opportunity to bring God glory in everything that you do. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and I just thank You for this time. I thank you for changing my life. I do. And I know that there are many of us, all of us hopefully, that would echo that same prayer, that thank You for changing my life. Thank You for changing my family. Thank You for changing my direction in this life. But God, as You have changed our direction in life, as You have saved us, God, help us. Help us to be Your hands and feet. Help us to be a light in this dark world, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities. God, everywhere we go, may we allow Your light to shine in us and through us so that others can taste and see that You are good as well. Thank You for being an amazing God. Thank You for loving us even when we were unlovable. God, now I just pray that You go before us and our families, continue to provide for us, continue to bless us, and take good care of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? And now my challenge is simple.